thank Marie very much for inviting me to talk here. It will be a little bit different. As Marie mentioned, I'm a mathematician. I'm a professor at the University of Southern California, the director of the Center for Applied Mathematical Sciences there. So I come from a part of the scientific community that I think is perhaps a little bit on the edge, to a certain extent, rather smaller than big science. But the mathematical community is also, we think, essential to almost all of science. And it is also perhaps one of the oldest communities. This means we are rather conservative in many things, in our viewpoint of science and of publications. So what I'll be giving you a little bit is some information about scientific journals from the mathematician's point of view, from certain mathematical journals, ones that I've been involved in, and also how the two of the major mathematical societies view publications. So, as Marie mentions, I have considerable editorial experience. I'm the chief editor of the Bulletin of the American Mathematical Society. That is the first journal published by the American Math Society, and it dates to 1891. Our goal, we say, is to publish excellent research and excellent exposition, and we concentrate on survey articles. So it is not entirely a traditional journal in mathematics. The articles could be long, they could be short. They are aimed for a broad mathematical audience. I'm also an associate editor of a specialized journal, the Journal of Mathematical Fluid Mechanics, which is a Springer published journal. I'm also on the editorial board of a SIAM journal. SIAM is the Applied Math Society in the US. And this is this journal is Mathematical Modeling and Simulations. So again, it is rather a specialized journal. The Bulletin is a very broad journal in terms of the coverage of mathematics. Now, the American Mathematical Society it's the largest mathematical society in the world. It undertakes many activities that are related to mathematics, but in particular, it is a major mathematical publishing house, which I have been involved in for a long time, and with my prejudice, I think it does the right thing. So I'll be telling you about some of its attitudes towards copyrights, its attitudes towards open access, and how it is viewing the future. So the American Math Society, if you look on its website, www.ams.org, you'll find out in much more detail than I'll be telling you some of this information. It classifies its journals under four categories: research, which are the traditional research technical journals, and there are about maybe 10 of these. Member journals, and this is the Bulletin, which I'll be telling you more about, and the notices. These journals are sent to in hard copy for every member of the society who wishes to receive them. They are also completely open access, as I'll mention more in a moment. Then the AMS publishes translation journals. At one time, translation from the French, but now almost always the French mathematics is published in English. But translation from Russian is important still, translation from the Chinese is important. So there are this group of translation journals. And then they distribute journals. So they have a number of journals that they do not publish, but they distribute. And among other things, they distribute journals for the Société Mathématique de France. And of course, the AMS gets paid a certain amount for these services. Now, when I say the Bulletin is completely open access, that is true. The Bulletin is freely on the web. There are no article publish processing charges. There is no payment that anyone needs to make to get any article that you like from the Bulletin. Not only is it completely open access in terms of the issues that have recently been produced. Every past issue going back to 1891 was scanned, and that is on the web. So absolutely free to the world. How does the AMS manage to offer this for free? It does this because it has a big financial resource, something called MathSciNet, which is sort of an evolution of mathematical reviews. It is an essential search engine tool that basically every research mathematician needs to use. There are some others, for example, Zentralblatt, which is a European, basically, again, review, math review situation, pretty much the AMS MathSciNet has dominated Zentralblatt. And luckily for us, it is essential that pretty much every research university and enterprise involved in mathematics subscribes to MathSciNet. So this is quite profitable for the society, and it allows the society to do a number of other things. And one of the many things that it can do is allow that the bulletin of the AMS, which I think is probably the most prestigious survey journal in mathematics, to be completely open access and free for everybody. Other journals, of course, are not. Other journals are under the situation whereby people have to subscribe to them. In terms of copyright, the AMS recommends that its authors sign the copyright to the AMS, but it doesn't insist upon it. If the authors wish, they can retain the copyright and sign a license to publish under Creative Commons. So the authors have the choice. Up to now, I think most authors have chosen to give the copyright of their work to the American Math Society, partly, again, as I say, it's a conservative, mathematicians are a conservative group. They have done this in the past, so they continue to do it in the future, even though, as we're hearing, there may be some very sensible arguments for retaining copyright. Most mathematicians, at least who publish with the American Math Society, sign copyright to the American Math Society, partly because they're not lawyers, they don't want to bother about this, just as Puneet was saying, they would rather the American Math Society handle issues of copyright. And roughly speaking, people trust the American Math Society. I don't know how much they will trust big publishing houses, which are a rather different matter, but up to now, most authors do not choose to retain their copyright, sign a license to publish under Creative Commons. This could change, of course. Now, what is the policy of the AMS towards open access? The archive, ARXIV, has existed now for perhaps 10 years. It serves the purpose that at least most mathematicians are concerned with of making their articles easily available on the web. The AMS and most other publishers that I know of in mathematics now agree to allow people to post not the final version that, if it's in a printed journal, would appear in print, but anything up to that version can be posted on the archive. So this is basically green open access in the sense of the work being available, freely available on the web. And most mathematicians choose to follow that. The US federal government has been making various noises that I'm sure many of you know much more about than I do in connection with work that has been funded by the government should be open access. At the moment, this green open access use of the archive appears to satisfy any American laws, although again, in terms of where US-funded material should be. So mathematicians, at the moment at least, are satisfying what we understand to be the US rules by posting our work on the archive. And when we write grants and we have to put a data management page, our data management page is usually a one-line page saying we will post all the material funded by this grant on the archive. And that is satisfactory for mathematicians at the moment. However, it's not necessarily satisfactory in all other countries. Things could change in the US, although we're rather hoping that they don't. But because of this issue of funding of articles and open access and what this means, and issues of interest from various mathematicians, the AMS has experimented with two new journals, which are gold open access journals. So two of the traditional research journals of the AMS are the Transactions and the Proceedings. The Transactions publishes relatively short articles, 15 pages or less, in any area of mathematics. The Proceedings are rather longer articles, again, in any area of mathematics. So the new journals are called Transactions B and Proceedings B. And the process is that if an author wishes to submit an article to the Transactions or the B version, it goes to the editors, independent of whether the author has in mind that ultimately it will be published in the Gold Open Access version or in the traditional version where that goes to the subscribing libraries. The decision, the whole editorial refereeing work is done on the papers completely independent of where it will end up. When the paper has been accepted and is in final form, the authors then have the choice. Do they wish it to be in the conventional version, or do they wish it to be in the B version? If they wish it to be in the B version, then there are article processing charges to be paid by somebody. And it won't appear in the B version until these article processing charges are paid. At the moment, the AMS has calculated what it feels is the article APC necessary to basically cover the costs. This, for the first 2 or 3 years, they are offering this at half price. So the APC for the Proceedings B, which is the shorter articles, are $750, and the APC for the Transactions, the longer articles, are $1,400 at present, and those are what the AMS calculates to be roughly half the cost. So this was introduced a year and a half ago. It was, of course, discussed considerably before then. So we have a little bit of data on these. So then the 2014 publication year, which basically means that the articles were submitted in 2013. For the Proceedings, there are 168 articles published in the regular version. This is the version that is both print and electronic and goes by subscription to libraries. And 6 people chose to publish in the gold open access version. For the longer articles, the Transactions, there are 102 published in the 2014 publication year in the regular version, and 2 people chose to publish in the open access version. So with this very small sample, and it's been in existence for a year and a half, there isn't within the mathematical community a huge move to feel that they want to publish in gold open access. Interestingly, we also looked up the Cambridge University Press data. They founded 2 new open access journals about 2 years ago, Form of Math Pi and Form of Math Sigma, and their data in the 2014 publication year is 10 articles were published in the short article version, and no articles were published in the long article version. So again, the mathematical community at the moment doesn't appear to be rushing towards gold open access, and the Cambridge University Press open access journals are actually free for the first 3 years, and people are not. Maybe again, we're a very conservative group, but we're not rushing into publication in that sense. Now, I think another comment, I mentioned I'm also an editor of a journal of SIAM, which is the Society for Industrial and Applied Mathematics. So this one might consider is a little bit closer to other sort of sciences. It is applied mathematics. It's more likely to be involved in data. Hardcore pure mathematics, on the whole, does not produce data. Although now there are certainly certain branches of what would be called sort of core mathematics that are much more involved in use of computers. We're moving rather more slowly into issues of data. But SIAM, being applied and closer to industrial, many of the journals will be involving both hardware and software in the production of the research. So their policy is, in terms of copyright, is, according to the web, is to encourage the transfer of the author's copyright to SIAM, but it doesn't insist. It allows a consent to publish instead of a transfer of copyright, and the consent to publish is under Creative Commons. It also allows every SIAM journal can be placed on the archive or any other web under green open access rules. So this is any version up to the final version that has appeared in the sort of the printed, in the case of printed journals, version. They don't have any specific gold open access journals as the AMS is doing now with Transactions B and Proceedings B. But in any of the SIAM journals, the author can opt for open access and not transferring copyright, only assigning a license to publish. And those journals will then be posted on the web, and the APC for this, for any article with SIAM, is $2,500. Again, not many people are taking advantage of that. I don't have the exact numbers for SIAM as I do for the AMS, but it is not, the community is not moving in that direction. Now, in some sense, why is the math community not moving in that direction? Partly, I think it is because, again, we are conservative. I believe, and I think a lot of other people believe, that these mathematical societies have actually done a very good job in publishing. Their subscription charges are much, much less than the commercial publishers such as Springer and Elsevier. They do not go in for bundling. They don't do some of the things that we think are evil that have been and continue to be done by the big publishers. So the societies give us an option of publishing in a venue and a method that, roughly speaking, the mathematical community approves of. Of course, many mathematicians do publish in non-society journals. Something like Elsevier is a very big publisher of mathematics. Some of the best journals are the most highly rated impact factor journals are in Elsevier. Some of the worst ones are in Elsevier too. Some mathematicians have signed a boycott of Elsevier. They will not publish in Elsevier. But we do have the option of these society journals, which also some of the best rated journals in mathematics are journals published by the AMS and by SIAM. So if you want prestige, if you want, you feel your paper is a really, really good paper, you've got a place to send it to where most of the community appears comfortable with the publishing. So what are concerns, at least some of the concerns that maybe these are rather personal concerns, but other people have them too, in connection with gold open access. Well, the main concern we have is who pays, or who will pay, these APCs. The standard mathematics grants at least up to now, coming from the National Science Foundation, do not have money for APCs. There may be there used to be a small amount of money in NSF grants in mathematics for publication costs. That sort of shrunk to almost nothing. And even when it's there, it's what's sort of referred to as a below-the-line issue in the budget of the grant, which means it's flexible. So roughly speaking, if there is any publication costs, they are also along with the cost of travel funding, funding for sort of students, buying a computer, all of that is bundled together. So if you're going to decide that you'll use that money for an APC charges, you're then obviously not going to be able to use it for travel or consulting. And mathematicians will make a decision, but most of them do not feel that they want to spend their money on APCs. Furthermore, many mathematicians in the US do not have grants at all. It is perfectly possible to do mathematics with pencil and paper. Having a grant is not in any sense essential to doing at least some types of most types of mathematical research. And so there are many research mathematicians who are producing papers who do not have grant funding. So that is certainly, that is not in any sense going to be the route of paying APC charges for gold open access journals. Some universities have set aside money for APC charges, and I'm sure again those of you involved in open access know the list of these journals. There, you can find them on the web, or the list of these universities. The number of universities is rather small in comparison with the total number of universities, and probably almost half of them are parts of the University of California system. How this money is going to be distributed, how does it come down from the top of the universities and trickle into each part of the university seems to be completely unclear. If you are a mathematician in one of these departments, how do you obtain the money from this pot for the APCs? I have one friend who has done it. He's at UCLA. He sent in an application. It was granted very quickly. So he is one of this very small number of people who actually published in a gold open access journal last year, one of these ANS journals. And he did it just because he wanted to test out the system and find out how to get the money. But this money, of course, is a finite pot of money. Mathematicians fear that it's going to go towards the big sciences. They are much more powerful, usually, in the discussion of university money as a whole. It's much more likely to go to the lab sciences. There might, some obviously would be set aside for mathematics, but what journals could it be used for? At the moment, nobody knows. Would it be that sort of four people in a department a year could get some of this APC money? Would it be everybody in the department got a very small amount of the APC money? Would it be that a couple of the big shots would get the whole thing? Would it be set aside just for the young people who don't have any other money? We don't know. But very definitely it's a concern, and we don't feel that that the APC charges, if they became really rather universal in mathematics, would be handled by somebody other than the author. So as far as we're concerned, APC means author pays. And of course, some authors could pay, some authors can't pay. So that's going to mean a tiered system among researchers in mathematics, which we haven't had before. At least not a financially tiered system. There are other, of course, evaluations that lead to tiers. But so we're most uncomfortable with that. And we really hope that gold open access will not become pervasive. Then something that I'm noticing myself is we are flooded with scam open access journals. In preparing this talk, I just took a 24-hour period on my email, and I found I had 8 invitations to publish in what really looked like a complete scam. Of course, it just you work on just deletes it. But will all, especially the perhaps the more junior people in the community, people who are not as well alert as us old fellas, will everybody ignore these scams, or will some people actually send off their bargain $100 APC in order to get their paper so-called published? Who knows? And as well as these obvious scams, there are other, perhaps more legitimate, publishing operations that have developed. The one that I'm noticed most about is Hindawi Publishing Corporation. Now, one can say that this is the wave of the future, and Hindawi is similar to, say, Springer or Elsevier. Or maybe not. Looking at its website, I see that it used to publish subscription and open access journals. In 2007, it turned completely open access, and I gather an article on its website. It's proud that it is making a good profit in its open access incarnation. It publishes 434 peer-reviewed journals. It promises very fast publication. It promises publication from the time of submission to the time of actually electronic publication. Everything is electronic in roughly 35 days. What peer reviewing can possibly happen in that period? It has huge editorial boards. Again, how are those editorial boards actually going to operate? I skimmed through a couple of the mathematics editorial boards, and I saw a few names I recognized. Of course, most of the names I did not recognize, but is it a good thing that mathematicians are sort of lending their name to these editorial boards? They cannot be seriously involved in that sort of time frame with that sort of numbers. I've never actually read any article published by Hindawi Press, so maybe I'm being prejudiced, but it is I think a considerable worry. And they charge $600 APCs. Well, $600 is not an enormous amount of money, but I can see that there are people who are spending their $600 personally, and what are they getting for it? I noticed again an email that came just yesterday from something called Frontiers. This is, I gather, Swiss-based. It's connected with the EPFL, a perfectly reputable institute in Switzerland. It's the École Polytechnique in Lausanne. It has an open science platform. The email that I got is that it's looking for editors. So I suspect it has sent an email of this sort to hundreds and hundreds of people saying, please, would you like to sign up as an editor of one of these journals? Well, again, this is certainly not a traditional way of building up an editorial board. It again also promises very fast publication. And I notice it says it is aligned with Nature Publications. Who knows whether this is this might develop to be something that is good for the research community or dangerous for the research community. I think the scams are obviously a danger. Maybe they will just disappear once they cease to be huge money-making venues for this probably one woman who I noticed that you got to the end of two of these scams, it was the same woman who was the person who was operating the whole thing, even though they came up with completely different names for their journals and different names for their publishing. So from this point of view, I feel that gold open access, at least for the mathematical community, I think is not necessary. It doesn't appear that there is a demand out there for it, and I think there are considerable dangers. So although the concept of open access is certainly very valid, the concerns about copyright are very valid, the disturbance that the community has had in terms of the behavior of Elsevier and some of the other publishing houses are very valid. My own take on the matter is we don't want gold open access as it appears to be developing.